When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast.
Ruthless but fair.
Julia Hartley Brewer. Comprehensive coverage of all the news stories that matter to you.
Harder, older, Hartley Brewer.
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast from Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Julia Hartley Brewer. You're with Talk TV. Now, Defence Secretary Grant Shapps has accused Vladimir Putin of being a modern-day Stalin. This after a sham election in which the Russian president won a fifth term in office with a landslide, 87% of the vote. Joining me right now is former National Security Advisor and former UK ambassador to the United States, Lord Kim Darroch. Good morning to you, Lord Darroch.
Good morning, Julian.
Thanks for joining us. My first question is, generally, the result of this election was never in doubt. It wasn't really an election. If you imprison everybody or kill everybody who wants to stand against you, it's not really a free and fair election. There are a few others who stood who were all Putin acolytes and appointees. But here's the thing. If you are an autocratic dictator, why do you feel the need to go through the sham election? And if you do go through the sham election, why only give yourself 87%? Why not go the full Kim Jong-un, full 100%?
The second part is a good question, Julian. I don't know the answer, except that I suppose it stretches credibility even further if you get 98%, 99%, or even 100%. On the first question, look, part of this is about how it looks abroad. And of course, we are all saying in the West it was a sham election. As it was, what happened to Navalny shows what happens if you're a serious opponent of Vladimir Putin. But in the rest of the world, they may see things a little differently. And what it means he can do is he can go on the international stage and say, first of all, I have complete support from the Russian population, or near complete support. Second, this was an endorsement of what I am doing in Ukraine, because you all said that that the mothers of Russian casualties and that other opponents would present a real obstacle. And look, 87% of the country support me. So in that sense, it's useful for international signaling, international presentation. And remember that he's part of this BRICS group with China and South Africa and Brazil. So he's developing his own international fora out there. And this is a message you can send to the world.
Indeed, and it is extraordinary the amount of money that the Russian government is spending. 30% to 40% now of all government spending is being spent on that war effort. A lot of what he was saying in the press conference after the election result came out last night was about the war effort, was about the sort of the threat from the West to Russian territory and the like. He's very much gearing this up. There is nothing in that election, sham election, faux victory, that anybody's had to say since that suggests the Ukraine war is ending anytime soon. Does it suggest to you at all that we should be wary of further threats to other nations?
Look, first of all, that analysis is absolutely right. And he will... I always thought, anyway, he would wait and see what happened in the US elections before, you know, taking any decision about what he's going to do in Ukraine, whether to go for a deal or continue the war. The ground war is now going better for him anyway than it did last year. That's another reason for him to carry on, although we shouldn't overstate Russian success, because they've lost something like 15 ships from their Black Sea fleet. And Ukraine is now ramping up its exports and its economy is going much better. So it's not going all Russia's way. But they have had some successes in the ground campaign, and they will think that they can score more successes over the next few months, especially if the West can't get its act together and get more ammunition and more weapons to Ukraine. Is Russia a threat more widely? Absolutely it is. I mean, if you were to take more territory in Ukraine, and particularly if you were able to take Kyiv, then I think you would look at the Baltic states next, which he's always believed are a part of Russia's historic territory. And then there's Moldova further to the west, which already has part of its territory held by a pro-Russian breakaway government. So there's options for him across Central and Eastern Europe.
Yeah. And certainly we saw at the weekend the Latvian foreign minister, former prime minister of that country, saying that, you know, they've brought in conscription the same way that, you know, Finland has had that for many years, where they have an extraordinary 250,000 strong reserve army. People, you know, they're trained up, they go back to civilian life, but they can be retrained because they are called up at a moment's notice. And Latvia doing the same. And suggestion that Western nations, including Britain, should be looking at doing that. Like, you know, with your, you know, former national security advisor hat on, is that something that would ever be considered by the British government ahead of the possibility of war? Would that something that only happen in wartime? Because many people are saying, and including this...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Foreign minister is that, you know, the knowledge and ability that you have the ability to fight a war, you've got those men and women on the ground, that's what prevents wars. Having the weaponry, the ability to use it, having the boots on the ground, that's what prevents wars. And it may be too little too late in the event of an actual invasion of one of our NATO allies.
I agree about the too little too late risk, Julia, but I would say we're a long, long way away from any ideas about conscription. I think the more important objective at the moment is actually, as Grant Shapps has said, to get our defence spending way above 2% of GDP. We need to be up at 2.5% or approaching 3%, as he is pushing for. And the fact is, if you add all of, you know, the United States and Europe together, we have a way bigger economy than Russia has. If we got our act together collectively in NATO, we produced more of our own ammunition and weaponry, and we spent more on defence, we would massively outpower Russia. So actually, I think that's the real priority at the moment, rather than talking about conscription. Okay.
Well, let's talk about Donald Trump. He's constantly in the news anyway, but he has said repeatedly, you know, if he won the US election in November and he was in power from January next year, he would end the Ukraine war in one day. He's never spelled out exactly how he'd do that, but with Republicans basically being told by Donald Trump to stop this multi-billion pound payment to buy arms that's heading to Ukraine in Congress, one would suspect it would be that the funds would be cut off, military aid cut off, and basically Ukraine would be either losing or forced to rely on Europeans who don't have currently the ability to produce that sort of weaponry. Do you think that Vladimir Putin is, as many suspected last time around in 2016, hoping for a Trump victory? And what do you think a Trump victory would mean for Ukraine and for Russia?
You said earlier, Julia, correctly, there are things that Donald Trump said that we shouldn't worry about and things that he says that we should worry about. And what he said on Ukraine is one of the latter. It's one of the things we should worry about. The only way you could do a deal instantly on coming into office would be to, as he said he would, to say to Zelensky, not another bullet or shell is coming your way. That's all over. Go and do a deal with Putin, and then to encourage Putin to do a deal with Zelensky. And the only deal that is conceivable that Putin would do would be one that leaves him with at least all the territory he has captured now, some 15% of Ukrainian territory, but possibly he would demand more because he would believe he was in a strong position to take more territory.
So the whole of the Donbass region?
Yeah, take all of the Donbass and maybe a bit more. So if we were going down that track, what that means in effect is a very substantial defeat for the West. We spent almost $200 billion supporting and arming Ukraine over the last 2 years. And that money would effectively have been wasted. And Putin would have got a success. He would have achieved at least some of his objectives. The rest of the world would notice this, particularly China in relation to Taiwan, and think, yet again, the West can't stay the course. And it would be, therefore, I think, a defeat of a strategic nature. So this we really, really should be worried about. I think it would be a really bad moment for the West.
Really interesting to get your thoughts on all of that. Thank you very much indeed. It's former National Security Advisor, former UK ambassador to the US as well, Lord Darroch. Sam Armstrong still with me. These are serious concerns. There are a lot of very serious people who know their stuff in the military and diplomatic world, who are very, very concerned about Vladimir Putin and what his aims are, but also concerned about the implications, particularly of a Trump presidency, given what's happening with Congress and those funds for Ukraine. What do you make of it all?
Well, the worrying thing is if, as Lord Darroch says, Vladimir Putin gets something of a win out of this war.
Anything that he can claim.
Obviously not what he was after, which was to take over the whole country. His track record shows that this is a dictator that never stops there. He invaded Georgia, North Ossetia, got away with that. He invaded Crimea, got away with that. If he invades Ukraine, gets away with that. Where will be next?
Realistically, I mean, would it be a NATO country? I mean, the Latvia and other countries, they are, you know, they're surrounded effectively by, you know, Russian territory. That, you know, they are very, very wary. They are members of NATO. My thing is, I just don't necessarily trust that NATO members will step up for those nation states.
Yeah, and what you've got to realise is that Vladimir Putin built his career as part of the USSR, where they had it all. And if there's one mission he's got in life, it's to get that Soviet empire back.
It does appear so, doesn't it?
The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast. Ruthless but fair. Julia Hartley Brewer. Comprehensive coverage of all the news stories that matter to you. Harder, older, Hartley Brewer. The Julia Hartley Brewer Podcast from Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.